I'd like to invite you to the 75th anniversary meeting in NVDA. It's been a busy 75 years, and NVDA has accomplished an awful lot. can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
How about now?
Better.
Thank you.
You wouldn't miss anything. You've got the copy of the annual report when you came in, and take a chance to look through it. It has an excellent summary of everything that's happened over the years and how important NVDA has been to the Northeast Camden. So we have a very honored speaker, Governor's here this evening, and I'd like to have Cynthia Stewart come up and introduce Sarah Waring, who's going to speak, and then introduce the governor. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm a little louder, so probably you can hear me, I think. I have the pleasure of introducing Sarah Waring tonight. She's the executive director of the Northern Borders Commission in partnership with Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and New York. But Sarah has an extremely long history with the Northeast Kingdom. Goes way back to partnership with the Vermont Council on Rural Development's Council on the Future of Vermont project. I think that was a while ago. And she has a really impressive background. She's state director of USDA Rural Development for Vermont and New Hampshire for many years, which supported our area with grants and really understood the rural area that we live in and the need for funding on projects. Vice president of the Community Investments in the Vermont Community Fund. And prior to that, she was the ED of the Center for an Agricultural Economy in Hardwick. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Cynthia. Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's really exciting to be here on the 75th birthday of NVDA. I'd say you all look really good for 75 years. Cynthia gave you a little bit of my professional history, but really, I want to start by telling a story about my personal history, because I grew up in Glover when Bread and Puppet was a huge thing and took a week long and took over all the farmers' fields and drew as many people as a fish concert did. We would ski as kids in Craftsbury and Burke and Jay and Linden at the Outing Club. We swam in Shadow Lake and Crystal Lake and Lake Willoughby. Our elementary school and high school marching bands marched down the main streets of the towns in Orleans County. We bought really good shoes at Simon the Tanner in Island Pond. See? And also the Albany Country Store had those great sweaters. Really terrific stuff growing up here. I had a summer job in Brownington at the Old Stone House Museum. And my dad worked for many years at Riverside Elementary in Lindenville before he moved to Lake Region. My mom ran the Head Start in Hardwick for a while and then worked for the Department of Labor in St. Johnsbury as a caseworker and sat on boards with acronyms that I really didn't understand when I was a kid, like NECA and NCHC. And we played high school sports against the really big schools like North Country and the Linden Institute and the St. Jay Academy and eventually Barry at Montpelier. I never went really to Burlington as a kid. I definitely never went to St. Albans as a kid. And when I moved out of Vermont after high school, it was really clear that I only really knew this small corner of this small state. But there were some stories that I learned growing up here that became embedded in who I was. The first one was that you shouldn't brag about yourself or your work, but that being a hard worker was one of the most important things you could be. You had to learn to be self-reliant and independent. You had to always help your neighbors when they needed it, and sometimes strangers too if they went off the road in front of your driveway. I knew that I had come from a region of Vermont that was poorer and had more high school dropouts and had a lower median household income and had a longer winter and a shorter growing season than a lot of other parts of our state. And I also knew to expect that other people were going to judge me for it, because class was definitely something you knew about growing up in the kingdom. And I learned that I had to move away before I could be successful. It was about a decade before I came back to Vermont for a job, and another few years before I made my way back to the kingdom, to Hardwick, to work. I started working professionally alongside NVDA when I took over at the Center for Ag Economy in 2013. And I overlapped with Steve Patterson for like 2 months, maybe, before Dave stepped into the executive director role. Steve's vision for how the Vermont Food Venture Center was going to help launch the kingdom and support the local food economy was really one of the things that maintained the capacity for that small organization to really get that piece of critical infrastructure. But Dave and I pretty quickly had to deal with some sticky issues like a lawsuit and a property transfer and permitting and various other things. And there's no way that I could have accomplished the kinds of things that I got to do at Center for Ag Economy without NVDA. In particular, I met almost every week with Allison Lowe, who became a really good friend and helped me to write grants and administer grants and to project manage and to facilitate meetings. She became a friend throughout those years. And I think that that's true of the way NVDA does their work with communities across the region. It shows in the work that they do on behalf of all of us and the places there where we live. Now, over the years at Hardwick, I got a chance to do a couple of other things with NVDA. In 2014 and 15, alongside Dave and NCIC and UVM Extension, we helped to relaunch the Northeast Kingdom Collaborative. And that organization has a totally different swim lane in what they do than a planning commission or an economic development corporation. It's a partnership of many of the organizations that many of you know and love. And that board is really important. And we were able to raise money, create the board, and then hire our first executive director, Catherine Sims, who approached the work with a passion. In 2016, I had the chance to work with Allison again to build the Northeast Kingdom Food Systems Plan. And that is the only plan in the state of Vermont that takes a small portion of the state and identifies exactly what our farmers and our food businesses need to reach markets that they cannot yet get to, and to identify those things in the supply chain that we need to build to help them be successful. In 2017, Allison and I worked together to get Northern Border Regional Commission funds to help secure the Yellow Barn in Hardwick. And we are, what did Minty say? We're on the home stretch, maybe Minty, wherever she is. There she is. We're so close, right? And then when the EDA, the Economic Development Administration, launched the Northern Vermont Economic Development District, I had a chance to help with the analysis of that first regional plan, which helps to prioritize our strengths and weaknesses, not just in our little kingdom, but across all of the northern tier of Vermont, so that we could access more federal money. And I share these examples, not because I'm trying to give you my own history, but because I believe that what NVDA does really well is not just the work that you see on the fourth page of that report in every town with a town plan, with an emergency management plan, with a transportation plan, but also they think about our three counties and our 55 municipalities as a region. And they think about how the work we do can be work that benefits all of us. Dave and his team don't ever stop thinking about that daily work. They help all of us to understand and navigate federal funds, state agencies. They are there during some of our trickiest local select board meetings, helping to translate and navigate. And they're helping communities to help themselves so that the next generation of Northeast Kingdom kids can feel like they can be successful here. Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of working with Dave and Annie and Alex, wherever he is, there he is, at a conference in Burlington. And there was a track at that conference that was about entrepreneurial communities. We were working towards redefining how communities can see themselves and how they can actually help to de-risk small businesses so that businesses can be more successful and more viable over the long term because the community has stepped in to support them in some way at the beginning. And I remembered when I got to work along the Rocky Mountain front in rural Montana, which is another place where the kids learn those same stories that we learn here. And I was working with one small town on land use planning, and an elder in that community came up to me and said, "The only thing that's going to grow in this town is the graveyard." So sounds like something we might hear in the kingdom. It's true. But it is a sad story. It is a story that is full of frustration and desperation. And that is not the story that NVDA tells us. That is not the story that they are trying to help us build for our communities. It's not the one that they help us plan for every day with all of the planning work that we have to do. Their work doesn't just help us think about the future, but actually helps us lay out the outline for how that future might look. It's been 75 years, and I would say NVDA has done a great job. NVDA has been the rock that has helped to steady all of our towns through disasters and pandemics and planning board meetings and more. So thank you, NVDA. Your work helps all of us to make the kingdom a better place, where we no longer have to tell our kids some of those stories about leaving here to be successful. And now it's my job to introduce someone who is well known to all of us, someone who has also acted as a rock, but this time for the entire state through emergencies both big and small, someone who acts with integrity, and someone who Vermonters trust because he means what he says. He works hard in the background to make sure our government functions and our communities stay affordable to all of us. He is a man whose story is like many of our stories, a local kid working for local businesses, running his own business, and then all the time thinking about the greater good. Governor Phil Scott has served our state for 25 years. He sits on our Northern Border Regional Commission, and he helps to direct federal funds to those most distressed communities first. And now that I work a lot in New Hampshire and New York and Maine, I also hear from our neighbors to the east and west that he doesn't mind at all when he successfully steals a business to come locate in Vermont instead of somewhere else. So welcome, Governor Scott.
Thank you, Sarah. And the Northern Borders Grant, before I start, has been essential to this region, to Vermont. And none of that, and Sarah's done great work there, but none of it would have been possible without Senator Leahy. And he was a true champion for economic development in Vermont and protecting Vermont from many, many things. But that one, that along with the small state minimum, I think were the two biggest things that he's done in some respects for Vermont. So I spoke to him just last week. He moved back to Virginia, and but I'm hoping to see him at UVM this weekend for an event. But again, I want to thank all of you. It's good to be back in Greensboro tonight. Happy Manufacturing Week, by the way. I had my press conference today at Giant House Socks in Waterbury. They have a second location there, and they are doing great work and expanding. They keep that in mind. They want to expand. What's holding them back, and I'll talk a little bit about this, but what's holding them back is the workforce. They're scared to death. They have a business plan that works, but they're going to have people in order to accomplish that. So it's a struggle we face and something that we're going to continue to work on. But again, this 75 years is an incredible milestone for all of them. It's just important they have an association like this that's at the helm with your best interests in mind. And I want to thank Dave and the entire NVDA team for all the work you do to support businesses in the kingdom and for your partnership in economic development with us in the state. And there's a lot of good going on. We can talk a lot about our challenges, which I will, but there's some good things. You know, the significant expansion of Whiteman and St. Jay to Track Inc. moving into the former Bogner building in Newport. To the mayor over here, I'm sure he's happy about that. I've seen him at three events over the last week. The role all of you play in coordinating with businesses to help them grow and succeed is really important. And it's something my team will continue to focus on so we can revitalize communities in every corner of our state. And while we've made some progress with new tools like project-based TIFs, which is important, and some short-term Act 250 exemption, there is still so much more work to do so that communities, the families and businesses in them are better served and are thriving. Together, that's how we'll grow the economy, make Vermont more affordable, and protect the most vulnerable. But there's no doubt we face a number of challenges, from a workforce I spoke about before and a housing shortage, to education, public safety. For decades, our population hasn't changed much, and it's shifted. Vermonters are getting older. This leaves us with a declining workforce and fewer kids in our schools. In fact, we now have 14,000 fewer kids under the age of 18 than we did a decade ago. There are 28,000 fewer people between 40 and 54, which is the backbone of our workforce. And there are also 48,000 more of us over the age of 65. So that pretty much tells you all our challenges are combined because of those numbers. The losses we've seen in students, workers, and jobs has had a chilling effect on many regions, mostly outside of Chittenden County, which has created a gap between the Northwest and pretty much everywhere else in Vermont. There's no doubt the challenges are significant for our rural economic centers, like here in the Kingdom. They're struggling to catch up. But I believe if we continue to stay focused on root causes, we can overcome them to retain and attract more workers, revitalize communities that have been left behind for far too long, and give our students a quality education at a price taxpayers can afford. And the NVDA plays an important role in all of that, help businesses access the assistance they need to start up, grow, and also thrive. And as was mentioned, this is true with the Yellow Barn in Hardwick. I remember being there about 12 years ago, I think, with Senator Leahy, and I thought we were close. But we've seen that through and had a few ribbon cuttings along the way, but I think we are seeing the fruits of our labor. You've been able to work closely with the 55 towns and municipalities to plan for the future, set the region up for long-term success by leveraging things like the state's energy resilience program, brownfield funding, which is really critical. We have so many brownfields across Vermont. And when I came into office, I said, we need to put money into there. That's the bottleneck. It prevents a lot of economic development in the state. We've done that. We've been successful in many, many areas. But as well, as was mentioned, the Northern Border grants for projects in Canaan and Craftsbury. I also appreciate you stepping up in 2023 and again 1 year later in 2024 to help out flood impacted businesses, from recovery efforts to damage reports and connecting communities to available resources like BGAP, which we administered, and creating the Linden Business Flood Recovery Fund. All of that got us through two really difficult times up in this region. The economic development you support is essential to helping to achieve my goals to revitalize communities that have been left behind. There's a lot to offer to Vermonters and visitors in the Kingdom, and I appreciate all you've done for the last 75 years and for many years to come. I thank you again for having me and look forward to hearing your report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Governor Scott. We'll continue with the business meeting now. Are there any updates to the agenda? Having none, we need to approve the minutes from the 2024 annual meeting. If you'll make a motion and give your name so it's recorded, that would be great. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Marty Feltus.
Second, Bill Davis.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I need to appoint ballot clerks for the officer election results. And I'm going to appoint Tina Gagne and Jennifer Birchall to get the ballots counted and be ready to let us know who's got my job next. We need to approve the town plans for Groton, St. John's, Berry, and Sheffield. Allison?
So we have to. I'm going to make them this guy. I'm just too short. We need to request regional approval of three town plans. If you're new to this, we don't do this because we're planning cups. We do this because we review all of our locally adopted plans to determine if they have all of the required elements of a duly adopted plan and statute, and if they're consistent with the regional plan and compatible with all of the plans in our region. So the first plan that is seeking approval is the town plan for Groton. Kyle Dwyer is working with the town of Groton, and I believe Tracy, as always, has done the maps for that town plan as well as others. They had their regional approval hearing on September 19th, and we did a staff review, and there were no objections. So now we would like to put it before the board that we received that the town of Groton received approval of its locally adopted town plan. Could I entertain a motion? Second. Any discussion? There being none, we'll make the motion to all those in favor of approving the Groton town plan. Please signify by saying aye. No. That's a squeaker. So the second one is the town of St. Johnsbury. And Kathleen Lord, who's sitting right here, this was one of her first projects, like literally days that you had just started working about, worked with me and also with Tracy to update their town plan for readoption. We also had the hearing on September 19th, and we found that it met all of the requirements for regional approval. So at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the town plan for St. Johnsbury. Any discussion?
Would you please state your name out loud? Thank you.
Mike Metcalf, Greenfield.
So all those in favor of approving the town plan for St. Johnsbury, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Finally, the town of Sheffield. And this plan was also Jesse Noon, who is no longer with us. Not because he died, he moved to Florida.
Same thing.
Catherine Lord also attended the regional approval hearing, and we also would now like to bring the question of regional approval before the board. So could I entertain a motion to approve the town plan for Sheffield? Mike? Yeah.
Second, Mike Strait.
And the second is Mike Strait. Any discussion? There being none, all those in favor of approving the town plan for Sheffield, please signify by saying aye. All opposed? They're all approved. So the next thing we need to do is actually open a very short hearing. And this is for confirmation. When we approve a local plan, we also confirm their planning efforts. And that's so that they can qualify for additional benefits, such as applying for municipal planning grants or participating in other programs to help incentivize development. So in addition to those three towns, first of all, let me make, I need a motion just to open the confirmation hearing.
So moved, Cynthia Stewart.
Cynthia, thank you.
Second,
Mike Strait. Mike Strait is second. So we're gonna open the hearing at 5:57. We are going to ask that we confirm the planning efforts of those three towns, as well as these other communities, because we met with them and we were able to confirm that they are still planning and they're working on implementing their plan. And we aim to do those confirmations twice in the 8-year planning cycle for each community. So all of the towns that we are asking to confirm are Barton, Brighton, Charleston, Coventry, Groton, Irisburg, Morgan, Reigate, Sheffield, St. Johnsbury, Sutton, and Westmore. So could I have a motion to confirm those towns, and you don't have to repeat them all? Thank you. Second from Mike Metcalf. Any discussion? So there being none, we are asking to confirm the municipal planning efforts of Barton, Brighton, Charleston, Coventry, Groton, Irisburg, Morgan, Reigate, Sheffield, St. Johnsbury, Sutton, and Westmore. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, that's great. They're all confirmed. We now need a motion to close the hearing. You just need one. So thank you, Paul. Before I sit down, I just wanted to point out that the planning efforts happen because it's a very integrated team effort. And I mentioned a couple of people here, but I wanted to let you know how we work together to make all of this happen, because it's not like one person can just go off in a corner and work with one town and not rally on the help of others. So every week we get together, and it's the effort is largely led by Liam Abate, who produces the proposed future land use maps for every town. And we have meetings that are joined by Kat, Liam, Tracy, and myself. And then we go out and we meet with every one of our 50 municipalities. That's because the UTGs count as one municipality. But each of those towns expect at least one meeting, but it's usually more. So we've been meeting, we have had about 100 meetings by the end of this next month. So we are referring to this as the world tour. And we want to get t-shirts, really proud of this. On the other hand, we are also meeting regularly, bi-weekly, to work on our own regional plan, which also needs to meet the requirements of Act 181. And that's an all hands on deck effort. So in addition to the mapping team of Tracy and Kat and Kyle and Liam, we're also joined by Molly Doctor, who replaced Bruce Melendi, who's retiring, as well as Carter Finnegan, and also Doug Morton over here. And also sometimes we are assisted by Lorna Higgs, because there's a lot of outreach involved. We're also assisted by Beth Torpy, on water quality assistance. So this is a large group effort. We've been going out to communities at local fairs and festivals to do outreach, to really broaden our effort. So this is gonna be done soon. And it is going to be winding down, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm really proud to work with all of you. And once the world tour wraps up, I hope you know that you get to behave like the rock stars that you are. And get to trash some hotel rooms.
Thank you, Allison. Dave, would you like to come announce the election results?
Thank you. Hi, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Dave Snedeker, Executive Director of the NBDA, so happy to be here tonight. Earlier today, the ballot clerks were actually Liam Abate and Kathleen Lord.
Just for one.
So I wanted to announce the results. So for President, Cynthia Stewart of Concord with 33 votes. Vice President of Caledonia County, Paul Bruja with 34 votes. Vice President of Essex County, Mike Strait from Brighton with 34 votes. And for Vice President of Orleans County, Hope Colburn with 34 votes. Secretary Treasurer would be Fred Saar. He's an at-large member with 34 votes. And Cynthia only had one spoil ballot, that's why she didn't have 34.
So we need to ratify the election results. Is there a motion to ratify?
So moved.
Who was that?
Bill Davis
seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much, Madam President.
Thank you. I look forward to working with all of you and supporting the efforts for the year ahead. So we are at the place of public comment. And I want to open that up to the floor here if there's anyone who'd like to comment or have some questions. Or go to dinner, one or the other. Anyone online?
Nope.
Great. Is there any other business?
Hello again. It came up under other business because they wouldn't put me on the agenda. So I just have some thank yous and an announcement or two. First of all, thank you to Governor Scott and Sarah Waring for attending and everyone else for attending tonight. It's really important to the organization on our 75th birthday to have such strong support from both attendants and our special guests. So thank you. Thanks also to the staff, the Hardwick Art Center and the catering staff for putting together what looks to be an excellent meeting. So thank you for that. And Fred mentioned earlier the annual report, so I'm hoping everyone has a chance to look at it. Not only did we mention our highlights for this past year, but our highlights of our work through the decades. And to me, it's a very impressive list of projects. And thanks to Laura Hicks for putting that together for us. And then now I would like to also thank Bruce Melindy, our emergency management specialist, for his years of valuable service to NEDA and the communities. Bruce is retiring at the end of this month, and we're planning to have a celebration for Bruce before he retires at the end of the month, but we're certainly going to miss your skills and your humor and your work. So thank you to Bruce. Well, I'll just close with saying that NBDA success depends on our talented staff, supportive board members, and local and regional partners. Thank you to everyone for your support and your work. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Second? All those in favor? Hey. Take a name. Let's go have dinner. Thank you.